from the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, to Selection Sunday. It is a opportunity to have our words and our thoughts heard in College Hockey West Live. Scott Strandy coming with you tonight from a very snowy Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul, where we are under a winter storm warning, looking for about another 5 to 8 inches of snow, and then rain on top of that, and then ice on top of that, then wind after that.
Get out of there.
My co-host is always joining
out
me
of
from
there.
The big, beautiful, palatial estate command center for college hockey, Paul Hornstein. Paul, how have you digested the day today?
Well, if it was, I'd probably be better if I was actually on a palatial estate.
with the command center in place.
Well, yeah, I kind of have that, but that's just because I have extra screens.
We have kind of moved things around the country because we have Stat Boy now, our official Stat Boy from ASU,
yeah.
In Tempe, bringing us news and stats and information. So shout out to our Stat Boy, Tom, for getting everything up to date for us. Before we jump into the bracket stuff, because we will jump into it, I promise you, with both feet, and it'll be deep, and it'll be muddy, it'll be murky, and we will make it clear for you if you're listening, NCAA Selection Committee. Sad news today. I got the news on Twitter from one of the best beat writers out there in Augustana, that Chad Demers is now... this one's tough for me, Paul.
Yeah,
I've known
I know.
Chad
is,
for a
there's,
long
there's
time.
Really, there's really
I've
no.
I've known him for a long time.
And we've had him on the program, and he's a good dude. And, you know, he's taking a turn for the worse.
The words from the best clinic, I think, in the world, the Mayo Clinic, is that his brain cancer has spread to different parts of the brain now. And unfortunately, their analysis was that there is no more treatment that they can provide for him. The hope is, and I know Chad and his family, Danica and the kids, are looking to explore other options, whether it be in Houston, which may have a different form of a treatment. But it's just terrible news. And Chad has been through everything. In his young life, and I do mean young life, he's a young man with three young children, and it just, you know, life is not fair.
No.
And we get upset over hockey games and over the pairwise and the selection committee, but I just want people to know that this is bigger than life. This is literally life and death for Chad Demers and his family. Yeah. And Chad, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, and we're hoping for the very best, my friend.
Yeah, we definitely are. And like I said, we talk a lot about fun and games here, but this is not fun. And
nor is it a game.
It's not a game. And
Paul, this I'm sure hits you extremely hard because you've gone through it as well.
Yeah, and man, I don't know. I mean, it sounds weird to say, but I feel worse for his wife and kids.
Yeah. I mean, such a young man. And Chad,
I'm not trying to short sight. I'm not trying to short sight Chad either.
No, I know that. I think our listeners know that. It's, you know, Chad's a fighter. And he's going to fight this to the very end. There's no doubt about it. If anybody's seen him around the rink over the last decade, you don't have any idea what's going on in his life because he'll never let it on. You know?
No.
So anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way right up front.
I agree.
That Chad, we're thinking about you, Danica, the kids. You know, you're all a big part of the hockey family, and you'll never be forgotten no matter what. So just know that we're there with you.
Yeah. And that's you know, that's really, you know, I wish we could do more, but, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, all we can do is spread the thoughts and prayers and hope for a miracle at this point, because that's what it's going to take. And Chad's been through miracles. He scored big goals. He's coached in big games. He's lived miracles. So nothing short of that would surprise me. Anyway, I just want to get that out before we started getting into this, because, like I said, our job is to bring you the college hockey world, and this is a big story on it.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, no easy way to transition out of it, but there was some positive things today. The NCAA Women's Frozen Four was played, and Ohio State gets a win.
Yep.
And especially touching to us, I don't know. In Paul stage, but I've gotten to know McCade Webster very well, the St. Louis native who's the captain of the Denver Pioneers, and really enjoy his company and interviewing him and visiting with them, talking hockey with him. His sister McKenna was named to the all-tournament team today and a big part of the Ohio State Buckeyes women's team that won a Frozen Four. So congratulations to the Webster family and McKenna certainly, and McCade as well. I know the family took crazy. I told you about
They are racking up those frequent flyer miles, and they are not done yet.
They watched Denver play Friday night. They flew to New Hampshire, watched the game Saturday.
New Hampshire on Thursday, right?
They watched Friday in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Saturday they came back and watched McCade and Denver win the NCHC.
Yeah.
Frozen face up. Then they flew back this morning or last night to watch the national championship game. So, man, that's devoted hockey people right there. That's why there is so much success in the Webster family.
And congratulations to Ohio State avenging last year's 1-0 loss in the championship game to Wisconsin.
In front
of almost 4,500 in Durham. The third largest crowd to watch an NCAA women's game.
At least Paul, you happen to know who coaches that Wisconsin team that's been a dynasty for a long time.
That would be one Magic Mark Johnson.
Nice. Coming up with some names. I love it.
That was his nickname.
I know. I like it. It's throwing them out there. Caden the Sponge and Barrico, you know.
What? No. That's no.
I hope everybody's got that pushed on record on the podcast, because Paul Hornstein just threw out a nickname.
I'm not against nickname. I'm against your corny nonsense nicknames.
Nonsense. The Sponge is about as good as you can get to describe Caden and Barrico's goalie style. He sucks in pucks. That's a sponge.
Jeez.
Anyway. By the way, congratulations to Caden. He was the and I wish we had more time to get into this. We'll get into it a little later on in the year as the tournament ends, but go through the awards for the season and when the season ends. Anyway, if you go to our Twitter account or anywhere, you can find some of the stuff from the NCHC awards that were held. By the way, the CC Tigers, who are not in the tournament, Paul, claimed 5 awards, including Coach of the Year, Goaltender of the Year, and Defensive Forward of the Year.
Right.
As well as the 3-star.
Right.
Winner. So Noah Lava picked up 3 awards, Caden and Barrico a couple, Coach Chris Mayotte, Coach of the Year. Congratulations, Coach. We knew it was coming. And to do it in 3 years, man, that's impressive. So
yep,
I know you're not in the tournament. I know there's a sting to it. We'll get into that in a little bit, but just want to throw that out there as well. So congratulations to the Ohio State women's team. Congratulations to Chris Mayotte, Coach of the Year, Caden Emberico, Goaltender of the Year, and Noah Labo for picking up 3 awards. They're just too numerous to mention, but you get the picture.
Yep.
I do. Okay. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's dive into Selection Sunday. Paul and I will give you our opinions on what we think happened, or what we know happened, and what we think should have happened. We'll be right back.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has 3 locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious, man.
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the NCHC.TV studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcasts, College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live, the NCAA Selection Show edition, if you will. The teams were announced, the brackets were announced, the locations were announced. All of that was done about 3 hours ago. Scott Strandy with you tonight in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul, en route. It's supposed to be tomorrow to Sioux Falls, but I think we'll wait till Tuesday before we make that trip over to Sioux Falls, which will be the site of one of the regionals. I'll be there Thursday, and then Friday morning, hustle our tail down to St. Louis for the start of that regional, and then we'll stay there for the championship of the Maryland Heights regional. My co-host, as always, from the Command Center in the Palatial Estate out on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. Paul, I don't even know where to start with this. I know the frustration levels are high. I guess here's how I'm going to start. I know there are a lot of fan bases that are extremely frustrated when they saw the pairings come out today. I know there are a lot of media people that are touting different things. I know there are a lot of people maybe at the committee that aren't sure if they made the right decisions or all of that and tried to make the best ones that they could. But if you want to ask me, and I know nobody really cares, but I'm going to give my opinion anyway. This is, again, another example of hurting your fan base in college hockey. As you know, I started this company 8 years ago to help grow the game. And what I have found over 8 years is the game has gotten better. The players have gotten better. The player pool has gotten better. The parity has gotten better. What's gotten worse, and a lot worse, is the ability for NCAA hockey to be able to showcase their talent, their sport, to the most amount of fans. And let me tell you this. You don't have a revenue-generating sport unless you have what? Fans. So you need to start figuring out ways to prioritize that NCAA committee, because you can have all you want and all your little biases and whatever you want to come up with. But without the fans, and I'm going to throw this out there, I believe you may have angered your biggest fan base. That's like taking your product that's been a great seller and completely destroying the most productivity you have. It's insane. It really is. Because I think if you ask the coaches, Paul, I don't think they care who they play. They know that they're going to have to win four games now to win a national championship. And I don't think they care what order. Go.
I don't even know where to start. To be honest, I really don't. I can sit here and I guess first of all, I appreciate that the questions were asked in Connecticut about the brackets and the locations of teams. I don't know why there was not a lot of follow-up. I mean, I kind of get it. You're not going to put the guy on the spot, or he's not going to come on. But if you made those brackets the way you did, and we're not going to expect the questions, then maybe you need other people on the committee.
Or at the very least, Paul, why not answer the questions? Why do they have to be asked? Why don't you come out and explain how you got where you got?
Well, here's the problem, right? I mean, we're going to sit here and, you know, the fact of the matter is it makes no sense that Denver is in Massachusetts.
None.
None.
Zero.
Zero.
Doesn't make any sense for
you want to sit here and
for the
say,
teams or for the fans.
You want to sit here and say, well, we couldn't change, we changed a bunch, but we couldn't change everything. And the folks that follow the green and white just have to deal with it. Being in St. Louis as opposed to Sioux Falls. I know what your argument is, but let's one step at a time. Okay.
Before you get into it, let's tell the people that maybe haven't seen the brackets or the
okay,
regional.
That's fine. Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
No. You go ahead and do it. Let's go through them so that people know who's playing where, and they go through the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 overall seeds, and then we'll get into the discussion. Because I think if people are listening, even on the download, and haven't heard or haven't seen the brackets, they need to have some context.
Okay. Well, here's the top four seeds, the four number one seeds: Boston College, Boston University, Denver, and Michigan State.
Now let's break it down right there, real quick. Are those the top four teams that you see in the country? Because they aren't the four that I see. I see three. I go 1, 2, 3. I've got no problem. But I don't Michigan State climbed over North Dakota this quickly.
My issue is
in one weekend.
Well, my issue is a lot more about.
I know. I'm just asking. I'm breaking.
Well,
this down.
I get it. I understand it. Well, Michigan State won their conference tournament, and honestly,
So did Denver.
Well, that's fine. Denver's in a three spot. Denver's fine. Okay. I could sit there and make an argument with you, even if I think North Dakota is in this. You know, is as good as Michigan State. Michigan State won their conference.
Okay, let's talk about how good their conference is.
But they still won their conference.
Okay.
You know me.
I'll quit.
Okay. They still won their conference. Okay. I think Michigan State is a very good team. Okay. I think if they played North Dakota 10 times,
Oh boy.
They might win. No, I'm sorry. Wrong. Bad analogy this time. Okay. But if you want to sit there and say you couldn't decide 4-5 Michigan State, North Dakota, I can live with that.
How about 4-6?
That's Michigan a different story. That is a completely different story.
Okay.
And I know what the computer says. Put somebody in between
them. They put somebody in between them.
That's the problem. Well, that's the first problem. Okay. I don't know. So in this case, you decided that PCW, pairwise, whatever the.
That's your favorite thing. Conference. That's your favorite thing. That's where you compare who they played and how their opponents did. The thing that I think is the biggest line of BS in all of the pairwise.
Except their RPI is 75 points less.
Oh, are we talking more, RPI
probably
now?
More.
Because in this over situation, 100. We're not talking RPI.
over 100 points less than North Dakota's. And you know me, I don't there's a certain segment of the North Dakota fan base that I absolutely cannot stand. Most of it I have no problems with. They're gracious, they're hospitable, they're relatively open-minded. But there is that small percentage that
let me separate
that's
this
equal with that other maroon and gold team fan.
But I got to separate this right off the get-go. This does not have anything whatsoever to do with the great, and I do mean great, media staff at North Dakota. They are
absolutely
top-notch. It's got nothing to do with the team, the players.
No, absolutely
it's got
not.
About to do with fan bases.
Well, okay.
I want to make that clear. Because it's not the team and not the media representatives and none of that. They have been more than gracious with us.
No. Listen, you have to take the first step before you can take the next one. Okay, and part of this is the seeding, and for seeding purposes and bracket purposes, 4 and 5 are different, but they're not that different. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. And Maine is not better than North Dakota. They're a good team.
No.
They're a good team. Again, their RPI is over 100 points less than North Dakota's. Okay. So that's the first problem. Again, with the pairwise. That's the first problem. And by the way, again,
go through the brackets.
Maine, 5 wins against teams in the top 15 of the pairwise. 3 of those games were against Massachusetts. The brackets in Providence, BC, the overall number 1 seed against Michigan Tech. These are Friday games. The number 8 seed, Wisconsin, against the defending national champion, Quinnipiacs, the 9th seed. Again, also Friday. Friday in St. Louis. As they say in soccer, the group of death. You have Michigan State as the 4 seed against Western Michigan, the 13 seed. North Dakota, the 6 seed against Michigan, the 10 seed. Okay, that's one half of the bracket.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Because if you're from Michigan, you're hating it. 3 of your teams are in one regional.
Yeah.
3 of them in one regional. The only team that's not within that region, they might as well have been, is Michigan Tech.
Yeah.
Come on, people. I mean, let's just use some common sense here. The entire state of Michigan gets 4 teams in, and 3 of them are going to be battling against each other to get out of the regional?
Well, I don't care. Honestly, that doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers me, and
I just know there are more teams from New York in the tournament than where
And they're not all in the same bracket, by the way.
No, but there's still more. They're in the same half, but there's still more New York teams than teams from where you are right now.
Okay, go on.
The other half of the bracket.
Go to the Thursdays.
the Thursday, Saturday group, Springfield, the third seed overall, Denver, taking on the 14th seed, Massachusetts. The fifth seed, Maine, taking on the 12th seed, Cornell. And then in Sioux Falls, the second overall seed, Boston University, taking on the Atlantic Hockey champion, RIT. And that other maroon and gold team is the 7 seed, taking on the host school, Omaha Mavericks, the 11th overall seed.
Okay, before we get into this, this is the way they're going to play out, whether we like it or not, and clearly we are not happy with it. But before we get into that, let me quickly go through these first games, and I'll give you my opinion about how these matchups look. And then we'll go on to more deeper in-depth stuff. But let's start with
Hold on. Let's, before we get into that, you might say that we are equal time, so to speak. The analysis that was done on television was done by three guys who basically don't venture or did not venture past Hockey East.
Correct. Good stuff. Okay. So here we go. Boston College, Michigan Tech. This is all BC. They're the best team in the country, bar none.
Except
what? But that being said, you know as well as I do, Michigan Tech has got an outstanding goaltender, one of the best in the country.
Yep.
And in a one-and-done scenario, a hot goaltender can steal your game against even the best team in the country. So the only way
and
Michigan
again,
Tech gets
you know,
by Boston College is with their goaltender, Blake Bielema.
Right. And if Michigan Tech played Boston College 10 times... BC might win 9, but not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. BC is going to win. That's my prediction. Okay.
Well, I'm not making predictions, so I don't care.
Okay. So then just listen and throw in your 2 cents.
That's what I do.
Wisconsin and Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac, the defending champions, but not the same team that they had last year. Just not the same team.
No, they're not.
And you know my affection for Mike Hastings and his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has something to prove now. They maybe didn't. They did early in the year. They didn't in the middle of the year. And now it's come full circle. And they have something to prove. They have to prove that they are a worthy tournament team. And I don't think Quinnipiac has got enough to beat Wisconsin. And certainly, I like Rand Pecknold and what he does. But he does not have the coaching staff of Mike Hastings. They will be prepared. They will be ready. And Wisconsin will beat Quinnipiac.
But they don't have rust like Wisconsin does.
Okay.
Well, Quinnipiac played this weekend. Wisconsin hasn't played. By the time they get to the regional, it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah, but let me tell you, if there's a coach in the country, Paul, that can eliminate rust before you ever get on the ice for a game, it's Mike Hastings. Mike Hastings knows how to eliminate rust.
Even nonsense. Let's go.
Okay. We'll jump down to Michigan State because I'm looking at the brackets as I see them going down. So Michigan State against Western Michigan. Western Michigan, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. You can't beat their goaltender. You can't compete there against their offensive talent. Michigan State is a really good team, and Western Michigan will be the first Michigan will be the second Michigan team out of the tournament on day one.
Okay.
Right. Getting to North Dakota and Michigan.
By the way,
it's gonna. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, BC and Michigan Tech starts at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Wisconsin and Quinnipiac start at 5:30 Eastern time.
Okay.
Michigan State and Western are at 5 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
All right. The final game of the night, North Dakota, Michigan. This is Friday night still.
Right.
So North Dakota, Michigan, here's these two teams, and I've seen one of them play a couple times, 3-4 times this year, North Dakota. Have not seen Michigan in person, but what I have seen on tape for Michigan is the only way that Michigan beats North Dakota is by beating the North Dakota goaltender. I don't know who it'll be. I don't know if
it'll
be
Mr.
Person. Hobie Hobequist. I don't know. But whoever it is, that's the only way you're going to beat North Dakota, because they are loaded. And I said this before, I don't know, and nobody will ever admit it, I'm sure, but they play the the conference tournament like it's kind of a dress rehearsal for the NCAA tournament, and maybe not to the level I thought they were going to be different this year. They got out to a quick, fast start against the Omaha, and then they just kind of went through the motions. They didn't step on the throat, proverbially, and get Omaha out of it. And Omaha hung around, and they ended up winning. But again, North Dakota is a better team than Michigan. I don't care how many logos are next to the Michigan guys' names. I don't care about the Michigan whatever. North Dakota is a better team, and North Dakota will win.
Well, I'll say this about first of all, I do think Michigan State is a better team than Western. I know you hate me saying that because I know how much you love the folks in Kalamazoo. But Michigan State is, I mean, listen, Western is going to be is tested because they play in the NCHC. So they're not going to be intimidated by Michigan State.
But Michigan State. Yeah, but you want to talk about Rust? Western Michigan didn't play either.
Yeah, no, I know. I get it. No, I totally agree. It definitely is a factor. And Michigan State already has a lot of the factors in their favor. They don't need that too. As far as the North Dakota Fightings, the North Dakota Fighting
Hawks,
Sioux, and Michigan, a lot of skill on that ice, and it's a postseason, and it's one and done, and I assume that the referee's going to let him play. I would beseech both teams to stay out of the penalty box.
Yeah. I would say they want to play as much 5-on-5 time as they can.
It's with the amount of skill on both of those teams. You want to stay even strength as much as you possibly can to not just use your talent, but use your talent to also negate theirs.
Let me make two quick comments on that. Garrett Pike told me in the practice before the NCHC tournament that I asked him about the defensive core being all new, and he said, you know, that's interesting because he said, I haven't been asked that question in a while. And I think that's because we've come together and nobody realizes anymore that we were all new. But we were ready to play. And we are ready to play. And we think we're a top unit. So that's one. Number two is the freshmen and the sophomores of North Dakota are becoming the leaders. Not to take away anything from Reese Gaber and Albright and Albrecht and all those different players that were letters and are senior leaders. But if you would have told me, Paul, this time last year that number four for North Dakota, Jake Livanovich, would be one of the stars of their team right now, I would have said, ooh, I don't know, not so fast, big fella. But
I would agree with that.
Jake Livanovich is an incredible defenseman. He's got a great sense, and Coach Barry has told me this multiple times. He's fearless. He'll take the puck. And if they can get him to shoot it from the point, he's very accurate. And we saw that the other night. He scored a goal that was a goal scorer's goal from above the circles.
Yeah, well, again,
Jake Livanovich, Jason Blake, and one grown man, Hunter Johannes, are going to be the difference makers in sending North Dakota on to face Michigan State.
Michigan team is like I said, it's very talented. And they have some big time players too. And it's going to come down, you know, again, who neutralizes. It always comes down to mistakes. It sounds cliche-ish. I get that.
Well, this is going to come down to the goaltenders on both sides.
Well, it always does.
5-on-5, these teams are equal. No, not always. Because
it always does.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes it's a power play. Sometimes it's your penalty kill, but this one is truly going to be up to the goaltenders. Whoever stands out from North Dakota or Michigan is the one. Yeah, they're the one that's going to win the game for their team. There'll be more than a dozen goals scored, probably.
Probably.
These teams can score a lot.
Yeah,
but their goaltenders who make the fewest mistakes will win this one. All right. Let's jump over to the other Thursday matchups. Number 3 seed overall, Denver against UMass. This one is the most unfair first round match I've seen in Frozen Four history.
Maybe
not quite that much.
That's not get carried away.
Maybe not quite that much, but you know my point. You are making a Denver team that's gotten better every single game, earned the number 3 overall spot. You're making them travel across the country to play the 14-seeded UMass Minutemen in their backyard. I mean, come on. Can we get a little bit of a break here? But anyway, Denver will still take care of business. I mean, I told you off air, this is the easiest path to St. Paul and the Frozen Four is in this regional because Denver is better than all 3 of the teams.
Well, you're playing a lot of road games. You're playing road games. And by the way, you're playing at noon Denver time.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Okay,
that's not a good thing for the Pioneers. But trust me, that chip on their shoulder is going to be like a 500-pound boulder.
They probably will have a giant chip on their shoulder.
They won't admit that it's there.
Well, it certainly sounded like it was there
when
you hear the clip
when we're done with this.
It certainly sounds like it's that. And you know, there are still a handful of players from
8?
UMass's national championship team.
Okay. There's still a few.
It's not a lot, but there's still a half a dozen or so. Especially on the defensive end, where you know they have a much older team, you know, players. They're most of their, they have some seniors and some grad students back there. So that'll make a little bit of a difference. I probably have to root for Ryan Efko because he's from Long Island. So,
okay. So let me ask you
that out there.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
How far is it from the UMass campus to the building they're playing at in Springfield?
I think about a half an hour.
A half an hour?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about these regional things real quickly before I finish the last 3 matchups.
Okay.
Omaha is the host in Sioux Falls. Paul,
correct.
Omaha is at least 2 hours minimum, maybe 3.
Right.
From Sioux Falls.
All right, but that's...
That's not the same thing.
It's not.
That is not the same thing.
It's not.
And trust me, a lot of people look at me and they go like, oh, you're crazy to drive like you do, because we aren't going to drive three hours to see that. So, I mean, trust me, that happens. By the way, how far is the Centene Community Center from Michigan State, Western Michigan, North Dakota, and Michigan? It's a long ways.
It's not close.
From all of them.
Yeah,
but it's not across the country.
No. It's not.
Okay, so let's go to the second matchup up there. I just wanted to make that point. Maine and Cornell. To be honest with you, I don't like either one of these teams. I don't think either one of them. I think you could replace them with 2 other teams, Colorado College and Arizona State, and have a better tournament. That's just my gut feeling.
Well, again, Cornell won their conference.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Maine is not as good as... they're good. I don't want to make it sound like they're a bad team. But again, and I will scream this now from bloody murder, because this is what we kept being... This is what the response was, and still is their quote response, to your 80,000 interactive Twitter post about the soft schedule that ASU played.
Well, I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, again.
Tell us the numbers.
Again, 5 wins against teams in the top 15 of the pairwise for Maine. 3 of those were against Massachusetts,
who barely got into the tournament.
Who barely got into the tournament. Because all, you know, because here's where RPI comes in when they'd want to use it, by 0.0004 points. 0.0004. 0.0004 of a point over a much better Colorado college team.
Okay, tell us about Maine's comparison with Colorado College against top 15 teams.
I just did. Colorado College won 9 games against top 15 teams.
How about Maine and ASU?
Maine, like I said, they won 5 against, and 3 of them were against UMass. But ASU beat CC, ASU beat Omaha, ASU beat Denver. Okay. They had a couple of ties with Cornell. Games went into overtime. Right? Shootout.
They won
one
against
Cornell. Win them. Well, it was a shootout.
They won one in a tournament. They won a tournament trophy because of it.
Yeah, it was a shootout, but again.
Doesn't matter. That's what the rules were. Play by the rules.
Okay. So that's as many as UMass has.
Yep. Okay. So let's move on to the other regional. This one in Sioux Falls. I'll see this one. Number 2 Boston University against RIT. This one is going to be closer than people think because RIT is better than people think. But Boston U is going to win this one. They got a guy named Macklin Celebrini.
Well, they got a lot of guys. They have Lane Hudson. They have Aiden. I mean, they are.
They're going to be just fine. I'll see that game, by the way.
Well, I'm sure you will. BU again stacked, lots and lots of logos next to their name. Right, they got about a dozen.
But more than logos, Paul. These are logos that can play. Sometimes there are logos that aren't that good on a team, but this is logos that can play. So this one is going to be competitive for about a period and a half, and then BU is going to put the hammer down.
Again, right? Yes, I understand what you're saying, but here, again, for one game, I would tell you that RIT goalie Tommy Scarfoni is the better goalie.
You just like his name. That's it.
Well, he's from Quebec, so it's not like he's – well, he may be part Italian. I don't know.
But it's Scarfoni, man. Come on. He sounds like he could be living on the street as your neighbor.
Yeah, well, he could be. Quebec's not that far from here. It's certainly – it's a little further than Springfield, but not that far.
Okay.
A lot of seniors and grad students on this team with, again, nothing to lose and 27 wins.
Yep.
Okay, and finished 21st in your quote-unquote pairwise.
They'll look and not in mine. Forget my pairwise.
And by the way, for a while there, we're in position for an at-large bid. The problem is, again, anybody in that league loses a game, they're almost done.
Just like being an independent.
Correct.
Okay, so I think that game is competitive for a period and a half. Then I think Boston U puts the hammer down and wins it.
Whatever crowd is there is going to be rooting for RIT.
Well, of course. Well, there would have been a sold out crowd. It may still be sold out, but it may not have the fans because I'm guaranteeing you a number of those tickets that were sold for the Denny Sanford Center were from North Dakota fans who are now going like, hey. Anybody from Boston or Minnesota or Omaha want my ticket? Because they're looking to get rid of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then I'll tell you that the final matchup that we have, which is the University of Minnesota against Omaha, this one is an ugly matchup for the higher-seeded team. Minnesota does not want to face Omaha because Omaha has had the ability to shut down offensive teams. By the way, just ask North Dakota, ask Denver a few times this year, ask Colorado College, ask pretty much anybody in the NCHC how much fun it is to play the style that Omaha plays. Well, again, they are playing with house money, and anybody that says, oh, well, they're the home, they're the host
whatever.
School. They're the whole school, but they're 3 hours away. They're not a whole school.
They're not
it's
a half
in Sioux
hour
Falls.
Away.
It's not in Nebraska. It's yeah, in another
it's not
state,
in Lincoln.
For crying out loud. Anyway,
yeah.
This one is going to be Omaha. And I've already seen people sending out tweets saying, like, hey, the upset of the tournament coming right here. Not going to even be an upset. Omaha's a better team. Flat out. They were the better team. And
better
I'm from
team?
Minnesota, so don't at me. I understand that. I am from
Well,
Minnesota.
You can at me, baby. At
and
me
I'm
because
I'm telling
because
you.
Because you know how I feel. I mean, I think Michigan State is legit. We can discuss Michigan. We can discuss Wisconsin. And I know the skill that's on that other maroon and gold team, but that's not a good team.
No, it's just a skill. It's a roster full of skill.
Okay, it's not a good team.
And by
and
the way,
you cry babies, and I know I'm going to piss off some of our listeners and followers because I'm sure they root for that team. Your team is not that good. And this crying, oh, we only got one team in the NCAA tournament and all the Minnesota schools. We should form our own conference.
You know what I say, Paul?
Stop it.
You Paul, you know
whiny.
What I say? Play a tougher schedule. You want to get into the NCAA tournament? Play a tougher schedule.
Well, it's not a soft schedule like somebody else's schedule.
Yeah. Play a tougher schedule if you want to get in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
You know, hey.
I
That's
know.
Their excuse for other teams.
Yep. I know. Well, anyway, this one, you call it an upset, call it not an upset, call it a team, but Omaha's going to win, and Omaha's going to put a fear into Boston University like they probably haven't seen since they played Boston College.
Well, because, again, I don't want to get into the second round until we're done with the first round, but
this is done with the first round.
I know that, but, I mean, they still have to play those games, but... The fact of the matter is,
you can't predict if you don't guess.
Well, you predict. Doing. That's yours. I mean, I'll just go based off your predictions. But
okay. Well, I'm telling you,
I think
Omaha's
I agree
gonna
with
play
you on
BU. Omaha's going to play BU, and BU is not going to like it because
no.
Omaha is going to play a shutdown style, and they're going to be opportunistic, and they're going to be playing basically with absolutely nothing to lose because Omaha. It can go as far as they want, and everything is a success on top. It's a cherry on top of a cherry on top of a cherry.
Right, because they played for their lives for the last 2 months.
Yeah, this is nothing new.
And
4 games. And believe me, in that Omaha locker room right now, Mike Gabinet's telling them, you know what? This is 4 games, fellas. 4 more wins. That's all you got to do. 4 more wins.
And we're not going to play.
You got the loss out of the way against Denver in the last night.
And we're not going to play anybody, quote, tougher. Than we've already played.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And Boston U is extremely skilled and offensive and talented, but that sometimes doesn't win out if there's a team shutting you down defensively.
You know.
Because it doesn't necessarily take the most talented player to win a defensive battle. It takes the hardest working player to win a defensive battle.
Again, I mean...
I'm just throwing it out there. The caveat is out there. BU and Omaha are going to play for that regional championship in Sioux Falls, and BU had better not take anything off that game because Omaha will come at you over and over and over again. They lost to Denver 4-1, Paul, but it was not a 4-1 game.
No,
Mike Gabinet
was...
will tell you the same thing. It was a 2-1 game,
yeah,
except for a couple of little mistakes along the way.
Well... You know, that's the difference
and
between winning the conference and, yeah. You know.
Okay, so there you go. I think it's Omaha and BU, and I think anybody can win that regional. Either one of them can, I should say. Now, let's jump back up. We're going back the other way. Denver, and I think it'll be Cornell. I think Cornell is going to shock Maine because, like, I don't believe that Maine is that good. I've seen Cornell against ASU. I know what they can do also defensively. And I think it'll be Denver and Cornell, but I don't think Cornell can match Denver. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Omaha upsets BU, and goes to the Frozen Four. And I'm going to say Denver defeats Cornell kind of soundly and goes to the Frozen Four.
Well, let's make sure you get all those pom-poms out.
I got them. I got them.
I know you got pom-poms aplenty, I promise. Anybody that doesn't think that.
Let's go back down to the other bracket. I think North Dakota gets past Michigan, as I said. I think.
Here we go.
Gets past Western. Now it's Michigan State, North Dakota. I like North Dakota, but I'm going to go with Michigan State because I think their goaltender is the difference.
Love Trey Augustine. This is not. I mean, there's pressure here, but this is not World Junior Championship pressure. TV
studio. Yeah, somebody's talking to me. It's your son.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, somebody should talk to him. Yeah.
Anyway, I think Michigan State, on the strength of their goaltenders, how they get into the Frozen Four, and that's who I think will come out of that regional in Sioux Falls and Maryland Heights. The other regional, Boston College, there's nobody. Mike Hastings, I love you. You're going to play Boston College for the regional championship, but come on. This BC team is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They almost don't belong in college hockey. They're almost like an AHL team or something because they're just that gifted and talented, and they play as a team. So it's gifted, talented, hardworking, and play as a team. Jeff Walker, you're welcome.
All right, so you're saying that your Frozen Four will be three chalks and an upset.
Yep. BC,
Boston College, Michigan State.
And Denver.
Denver and Omaha.
And Omaha. It's going to be a rematch, Paul, in the semifinals.
Okay.
Denver and Omaha are going to play each other the semifinals to see who goes to the championship game.
Okay. All right. I wrote that down.
Good. I'm glad you did. Do you want me to go through the Frozen Four to tell you?
No, let's wait till that happens.
Okay. Anyway, Let me go back and play a clip, just a short clip from David Carl. And if you want to talk about intensity, I've known David for a little while now. This though was intense in the post game. Let me get to the clip for you. This is just a minute 31 of his post game, and then I'll play a little more in a minute. But here we go.
Coach, I know you like winning championships, and now you have a chance to go after another one, number 10, for the national championship. But how long will you savor this one, and when will you start preparing for the short turnaround of the regionals?
Already looking in brackets.
If you look ahead to that just a little bit, what's it going to take to get through and win number 10 this year?
Well, need to win the first one, so that'll be our focus. Just trying to take care of our bodies here, get out of here quickly, get back at the bed, get back to Denver before the snowstorm hits here, and, just begin preparing and getting ready for that next opponent. So that'll be our main focus, is getting through that. I think we're playing good hockey right now, playing with a high level of desperation, which is good, and, you know, we know that whoever we're playing is going to be an excellent team. There's 16 left. They're here for a reason. And to me, college hockey is in as good of a place as it's ever been. The parity that we have, 1 to 16, even 1 to 25 to 30, anybody can beat anyone on a given night. So it's going to take a team-first commitment like the guys have touched on. And good news for us, we've got guys in the room who have been through that challenge and experience, and I think we've got a lot of hungry young people who want to add their legacy to the program.
Boy, was that summarized in a minute 31 like I've never heard, because I followed this team, as you know, pretty closely. And I think he hit on a lot of topics. Hungry, prepared, ready. Anybody can beat anybody. He knows it. He's been through it. He's brought a bunch of freshmen, 11 this year. Only 8 guys are still around from their championship team of just 2 years ago. Look out. Denver Pioneers are, as they like to say, are here to play.
I think he touches on it, right? And I'll say this. Every person that we've had on here and I have to be fair. I have to be. I have to say to publicly, people in those positions will sit here and say, we don't need to expand the tournament. 16 is good.
Well, there's one person, the one you just heard, that's never told us that
Never. Well, I said that's why I specified the ones we've had actually on interviewed.
Yeah. But okay. David Carl has never told us that ever, on or off the record, that they should stick with 16. He's about the growth. He understands the importance of growing the game. You need to get a bigger share of the sports market if you're NCAA hockey. We're going to leave that in just a minute. Can I play 2 minutes and 15 seconds of Mike Gabonet? Because I think this gives you a feel for what his team is like and what they're thinking in Omaha. And since I predicted the upset, I think Mike deserves a couple minutes.
The Gateway. Coach, we're obviously a hike from Omaha, but after a tough loss, you guys came off the ice with a pretty hearty UNO chant from that crowd. What does support like that mean to you headed into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, that's awesome. We made sure we thanked those guys for coming out all this way to support us, and they've been there all season long. And to have that type of support from our community is pretty special, and I think that's what makes Omaha special as well.
Coach, when you get into a final game like this and the chance to win a championship and you have a team like Denver that you know very well, you played a lot of close games down the stretch. Did fatigue play a role in this one tonight at all?
I don't think so. You know what? I liked our game for the most part. I think it was 2-1 until they scored that 6-on-5 there with the late penalty. I liked our game plan. I liked our game. I thought, we kind of made a couple unfortunate plays there in the second period there that resulted in a goal against, and they're a team that can make you pay for a turnover. And I thought their second one was, kind of a CNI shot that went in there. So, overall, really proud of the guys, and I liked our game plan, and they just found a way to execute there.
Coach, what can you take away from your experience in this tournament as you get ready for the regionals? What do you need to improve on? What do you think you did so well going into the regionals next week?
Yeah, like Grant said, I think just as far as improvements, just keep taking feedback, right? This is a big championship game, and there's some things we did extremely well, and there's some things we got to keep getting better at. So take that feedback and apply it here for our next game here coming up on Thursday. And then I think the things we did well, I thought we just stayed in the moment. I thought the guys were really good on the bench and just really good day in and day out here preparing for this. And just a tremendous group of individuals, tons of character, tons of leadership, tons of work ethic. Just all the things you love in players, and we have a tremendous amount of in our locker room there. So, again, just got to, make sure they take some positive experience out of this. We're all competitors, so it's no fun to lose. But I want to make sure they make sure they recognize all the good stuff they've done as well.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, Coach.
There you go, Mike Gabonet. Does he also, Paul, just display exactly what his team will be like? Against Minnesota on Thursday?
Like I said, they've been playing playoff hockey for 6 weeks, if not more now. Where, if they lose that game on Sunday night against CC, they're out. They're done.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet, they managed to win that game, a tough game on the road. They beat the number one overall seed in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff
in North Dakota,
and hang in there, and really until the last few minutes against the Denver team when they had, Denver scored basically a power play goal because they had the extra attacker, and it was a one shot game for 56 minutes.
Yep. So, and I like what Mike said, taken away from it. They're going to go back and they're going to use the feedback of the things that they did right, the things that they did wrong, and they're going to talk about it and try to correct them and look out if you're Minnesota. You talk about rust. Minnesota's got rust. They've got a lot of rust. And they've got to come out and play a very physical but solid and fair Omaha team. They don't take cheap shots. Very seldom going to see them do that. They're disciplined. They're going to be very hard on pucks, and they're going to be all over the place, everywhere. And this is what they did to North Dakota. They went cross ice multiple times. And sometimes talented teams get caught up in that, and boom, they're behind you. And look out. Look out.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not going to lie.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to lie. I don't have to explain, you know, what I want and who I would pick may not necessarily be the same thing, but I don't care because I'm not picking.
Anyway. Okay, so let's conclude things because we're running out of time, obviously, but let's conclude things. I'm going to give you three things that I think needs to be considered by the NCAA and the tournament committee, if that's who holds the cards, because I don't really know who makes
nobody
decisions.
Knows what decisions though.
Well, here they are with the tournament. Number one is you got to get rid of these, and I know Brad Schlossman came out today, the great writer from Grand Forks Herald, and said time to move it back to the campuses.
Well,
he put out a really good statement about that, and again, I'm not necessarily a proponent of that going far. But you got to get rid of this host school. If it was played, let me give you this. It was played at University of Massachusetts home ice arena, okay, that's one thing. But when they're only a 30-minute drive from this arena, that's basically the same thing. Basically the same thing. There are no other home ice advantages anywhere near that, because a home ice advantage is about your building and your fan base being able to get there. And I'm telling you, you can get up I-29 from Omaha to Sioux Falls in a couple hours. Okay. But that's still a couple hours. And if you've ever driven up I-29 in the wintertime, springtime, there can be high winds, there can be rain, there can be ice, there can be snow. So that doesn't necessarily guarantee that all those fans that want to be there are going to be there. So I think you're going to make it 30 minutes, no matter what the weather conditions are. So that's my first thing, is you got to get away from these prejudice, and that's what it is now. It's a prejudice about Omaha wouldn't care, Paul, if they were playing in St. Louis. They wouldn't care where they're playing. They'll play anybody anywhere. And I don't think that they look at Sioux Falls as being their home ice. It's Augustana's home ice and home territory. I'm using air quotes. So if you're going to make this tournament fair, then you've got to keep from sending teams across the country that have earned top spots. Denver fought hard to be a 3 seed overall. And what did they get out of it? They got sent to play the number 14 seed team in their backyard. That is crap. That is a load of crap. Sorry.
Well, you know how I feel. And we can argue and debate the second round. Okay? But I have said on this program 1,000 times, and I'll continue to say it, home ice for the 6AQs and the 2 top at-large teams. So this year, if it was up to me and I made the decision, and I, you know, obviously think I'm right, but you'd be seeing best 2 out of 3 at BC, at Michigan Tech, at Michigan State, at Denver, at Cornell, and at RIT. And then the top 2 at-large teams, and you would have to figure out, I mean, you can use a pairwise, but explain what criteria you're going to use.
Right.
Okay? BU would be the 7 seed and play a home series. And at least, to me, again, I would have North Dakota be the 8th seed because their RPI is better, but whatever. Just for argument's sake, I'll just use the numbers. Maine would be the 2nd at-large team with a home ice because they are the top 2 in the pairwise that did not win their conference.
Okay, so that's number 1.
And that would be best 2 out of 3 in the first round. You want to move 8, 9 through 16 around to not have teams play against teams in their own conference? Whatever. We can discuss
that
too.
Cut that crap, too.
Well, I agree, but
Your goal with the Pairwise was to do what? To get teams to go play other teams on the road.
Which doesn't happen. Okay.
I know. But that's what your goal of the Pairwise was. So now you're saying, like, oh, no, we can't have two teams from the same conference play. If that's where they fell in the matchups, then that's where they fell.
Well, that's fine. So whatever. Whatever. So then what? You take about 9 through 16 and you snake it back around.
Yeah.
And you do it that way. You want to debate how to do the second round? We can do that. But you know what?
We don't have time to do it now, but no, my point my point being is you take a team like Denver who worked very hard to be a top 4 seed so that they could be a number 1 seed in a regional. And instead of getting a regional that they could easily get to and bring their fans and do the things that they wanted to do that they should be awarded to do for being a top seed, you screwed over Boston University by sending them out, and you screwed over Denver by sending them out. Both of them should have had the opportunity to play right next to home. And Denver never gets to play right next to home unless it's at Loveland. Because, you know, there is nobody else that's next to home. But St. Louis is far easier to get to for fans and for players and for teams and officials. And so is Sioux Falls. So that's where you made another mistake because of this ridiculousness. And instead, you put them in what I call the weakest region. But still, anything can happen when you're playing in front of home fans. And you tell me if it doesn't take 30 minutes to get from the UMass campus to Springfield to the arena, that there aren't going to be a ton of UMass fans there.
Of course there are.
That's an unfair advantage for a team that earned with wins and losses and everything and the crazy Pairwise, the number 3 seed. And BU the same way. They got screwed the same way going the other direction. But
yeah, that's got to be fixed. We have to say that too, right?
Got to say that because it's true. It's true. But the difference is BU is going to a true neutral site. There is no team there, you know, that's going to Lindenwood as a host. They're not in the tournament. So BU is going to go to a true neutral site. Denver's going to a hornet's nest in Massachusetts. Yeah. That's unfair. And I'm going to say that till the day I die, and you can call me a homer for Denver or whatever. That's the truth. Look at it. Just look at it. And the same thing about taking your number 1 fan base in North Dakota, and don't anybody argue with me on that because they are far and away the number 1 fan base, and you move them to St. Louis when you could have had them playing in Sioux Falls, and you could have had, you know, you got a bunch of angry people out there right now, and you didn't need to create that environment, but you did. You chose to. Okay, so that's enough of that. The final thing that if there was ever a time for them to look at expanding the tournament to 20 teams, it starts right now because you have way too many talented teams that were left out by 4/1000ths of a percent or a 24 or 25 win team that wasn't getting a sniff or a team that got upset in their conference tournament but otherwise had a great season. I mean, come on. You don't think Arizona State, Providence, Colorado College, just those three alone deserve to be in the tournament? Because all three of them did. And all three of them are out.
24 wins.
All three of them are out. So you need to get rid of this ridiculous, can't leave your host site if you're in, because it's BS. And number two is you got to find a way to do this parody thing. And number three is you got to add more tournament spots. You got to go to 20. Now is the time. And don't look at how many teams you have playing versus how many make the tournament. Look at the level of competition within your sport.
Well, you heard David Carl.
Yeah.
If you don't want to believe us, if you don't want to listen to us, listen to David Carl.
Yep. And I'll tell you right now, there is a 500-pound boulder on the shoulder of the Denver Pioneers, and they know it. Paul, I was on the ice, as you know, for the celebration last night.
Right.
It wasn't much. It wasn't much of a celebration because it's not done yet to them. It's not done yet. I dare say any other team that won that tournament, maybe not North Dakota, but everybody else, would have been excited to be the NCAA champions.
Of course.
Denver, they had not won it since 2018. Paul, they hadn't scored in that tournament since 2018. And they were like, okay, great. This is a nice trophy. Cool, we'll take it. Let's go.
It's not the one we want.
The celebration was next to nothing. And that's okay with me.
Yeah, well, again, you know, they're looking for number 10. And yep.
It all starts for them on Thursday.
Yep. Yep. We can get into all these discussions depending on, you know, we still have time. But anyway, from the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Live has been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts Casinos. Worldwide, it's where the action is in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group. Search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. And by Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app and available along with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word, to find any of our shows. Subscribe, rate, and review them. Or just tell a friend to help as many people find the podcast as possible. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done. I do want to say a big thank you to the NCHC, Michael Weissman, Heather Weems, Sam Keeney, everybody involved with the NCHC for the great job that they did this weekend. Just one more year at the Excel Center, then it returns to campus sites. But, man, it's always a pleasure to be there. They are so gracious. Just personally, a big thank you to them because they made my life easier. I covered everything from practices till the championship trophy was handed out. And, man, they're great partners. We love them. We hope that continues forever. All right, we'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, De Niro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.